All right, great to have you with us today. Very special day at the ballpark today as Hunter Pence will be enshrined in the Giants Wall of Fame. And as I said earlier in the open, it is Orlando Cepeda, the great Orlando Cha-Cha, 85 years young today for number 30, Orlando Cepeda. What a thrill. I actually talked to him this morning, and he recounted the whole ninth inning of the 1962 World Series to me and said, hey, they pitched him a covey and not me. And Orlando was on deck when Willie hit the line drive to Bobby Richardson to end the 1962 World Series with first base open. Incredible. I said to Orlando, that's one of the biggest compliments you could ever have. They didn't want any part of you. All right, Evan Wiebeck joins us. He covers the Giants for the San Jose Mercury News. And, Ev, how are you?
Doing well, Marty. Should be a good day at the park today. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing fine. And by the way, I just want to tell you, Raf says that you could be the leader right now for Rookie of the Year. I want you to know that.
Well, Marty, I have my own top choice for Rookie of the Year this year. Appropriately, that's the vote I was assigned for the National League. And let me tell you, when the Braves were in town, I was polling the Atlanta writers. I don't know who to choose between Michael Harris and Spencer Strider.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. If I had to go, I probably would go Michael Harris because he plays every day. But I was going to make you rookie. As we do this every year, we have a Rookie of the Year on the Sports Writer, and you are the leading candidate for Rookie of the Year, according to our producer, Raphael.
I'm not sure what my competition is, but I'll take it.
That's correct. We don't know yet, but we know that you could be. So, no, it's a pleasure to have you on. We have fun with you, and I'm glad that we could do this all year long. A good day at the ballpark. Is there any flavor you could feel yet? I know it's early, and the Pence moment will be at 5 o'clock on the field. In fact, if anyone is close by the park, it's worth going out there today to see it. How does the park feel to you today?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always buzzing on days like today, Marty. I mean, the Giants do such a good job with these kind of ceremonies. This is something I've learned on my first year on the beat. You know, we've already had the Buster ceremony, the Will Clark ceremony, the 2012 ceremony. Especially in a year like this when we're playing September baseball and, you know, there's not a whole lot that matters on the field, it's nice to have something to come to the ballpark and kind of, you know, live in the nostalgia for a day. We can all bask in nostalgia every once in a while. I think that's healthy, especially in the world we live in today, right?
Oh, I think so. I think of good times and Hunter Pence, and as Bruce Jenkins will tell us later on, we'll chat with him and his feelings about Hunter Pence. But I always remember the broken bat and hitting the ball like three times with a broken bat and of course, the speech. For me, those are the two things I remember about him the most.
Yeah, Marty, I mean, I was growing up in Seattle at the time and going to school in Arizona. So, you know, as a baseball guy, I was, you know, obviously paying a lot of attention to the Giants as, you know, a team that was going to the World Series every other year. But, you know, kind of from an outsider's perspective. And, you know, I just remember watching Hunter Pence, and he was just such a fun and quirky guy. You know, this is no original opinion here. But, you know, watching him on the stages of the World Series and being like, man, what is a guy like this doing here? But at the same time thinking, you know, how great is it for baseball that a guy who's playing the game this way is able to do it on this stage and kind of just live in his own personality? And, you know, not to say that he started the wave of, you know, guys, you know, kind of living out, you know, their true selves on the ball field, but I think we're seeing that more and more in this generation of players, and I think it's a really good thing for the game.
Yeah, good observation. Very good observation. He did have a unique personality in the game itself. Very good. I like that. I like that thought. Yes, you are from Seattle. I forgot about that. What do you think about the Mariners? I guess you prefer to vote for the American League Rookie of the Year. That would be really easy for you with Julio Rodriguez. What do you think about what's going on in Seattle?
It's magical, man. I remember back in 2001, I was in first or second grade back then. And yeah, the Mariners can take over the town when they make the playoffs, but it's the longest postseason drought in professional sports right now. Looks like it's going to come to an end, and I'm sure Seattle's going to be going crazy. I might try to get up there, man. It would be a special moment for anybody who spent time in Seattle and had to deal with the torture of that sports scene.
You like the new playoff format with the three-game series leading into the division series? What do you think about that?
I think it's better. I think it's better than just having that one wild card game. I think, you know, once you make it there, there is some reward. You know, it's not just such a tease of just, you know, okay, we made it for one game. And this is actually something I've been talking about, you know, with some of my friends back home, you know, over the last few years as the Mariners have been kind of, you know, making these runs and not quite getting there. I'm like, well, you know, do you really want to get there just for the one game? And what if you lose? Does that really count as breaking that streak? You know, would that satisfy the qualifications for that? And, you know, personally, I don't know if that would be very satisfying to break that, you know, such a long drought, you know, for any fan base. But, you know, for me, coming from Seattle, and just have it end in one game. So I'm glad that they're getting three games. And I don't think it's actually reduced, you know, kind of the pennant race either, because the seeding matters so much, right? Because, you know, these three games are going to be played in one city, so you want to have home field advantage for that. You know, depending on your situation, maybe you want to get the top seed so that, or you want to avoid getting the bottom seed so you don't have to face the division winner. Although when you're looking at the American League, maybe you do want to face, or both leagues actually face, you know, the worst division winner over the wild card team. But I don't think it's done anything to detriment, you know, the actual pennant race and the competition toward the finish line, because I think there's goals that teams are chasing that are going to be, you know, meaningful when they get to the postseason, just like they wouldn't any normal year.
No, I like it. I like it because you could use starters 1, 2, and 3, and then all of a sudden, a day and a half later, you've got to come back and open up a division series with your fourth guy. And then your one guy probably would only pitch once in a five-game series. So it is important to win a division. It really is, and to try to get one of the two byes. So I like it. I like it. I think it's going to be very exciting because after that first game, then we're into the elimination games. And baseball loves game sevens, the elimination games. And we're guaranteed to have it after the first game. So I think it's good. I like it a lot. Let's talk a little bit about the Giants. Evan Weback with us from the Merck. Giants did make a couple of moves today, and I want to get your thoughts about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, we're going to get a couple new faces, a couple familiar new faces in Elliot Ramos and Sean Jelly coming up to join the club today. Jelly was kind of expected for a long time to come up and be activated today. He's kind of been hanging around in the clubhouse the last couple days. Obviously, it's Alex Wood's rotation spot, and he's still sidelined with that shoulder impingement. We still don't know if he's going to pitch again this year. We're kind of waiting for an update, expecting something along those lines coming this weekend. But, yeah, like you mentioned in the intro, you know, Jelly's expected to take down a large chunk of the innings today behind John Brebbia, the opener, kind of what they did in Milwaukee on that doubleheader. And, man, Jelly was as good as I've seen him in that Milwaukee appearance. Maybe his best appearance of the season between the majors and AAA, you know, because we all know the PCL is such a tough place to pitch in, and Jelly didn't exactly have the most success down there. But he comes up, and, you know, he flashes an extra mile or two an hour on his sinker. He's got this new kind of biting slider that has helped him get lefties out, which is something he really struggled with this year at AAA. And what did he do? He struck out Christian Yelich. And I really enjoyed after the game. He had some family and friends in the crowd, and one of his best friend from high school remarked, like, holy crap, you struck out the MVP, which, you know, might not happen if it was the same old Jelly that we had kind of seen in his first couple appearances up here. So I think it's really promising. Ramos is another guy that we've, you know, kind of seen glimpses of over the course of the season. Maybe a guy that you were expecting to see more of over the course of the season, but he really has just kind of undergone a season of struggle at AAA. And frankly, I think at this point, I don't think it can hurt to get him up here and just give him kind of a long look and see, hey, man, you know, you got to go out there and just, you know, trial and error, and, you know, work through the failure at the major league level. And, you know, facing them, you know, a month or 3 weeks of major league pitching can only be valuable for his development going into next season.
Yeah, Ramos a lot like Bart. When they brought him up here, they kept him around for 4 or 5 days and reworked his swing a little bit. Now they've sent him back to AAA, and now he's back up here. Maybe they can get results like the Giants got with Bart. But the Giants, I think I looked it up last week. I talked about it. I think they've used 36 position players this year. 28 of them have had 250 at-bats or less. What do you make of that? How do you like that?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. They've been providing us this list in the game notes of, you know, the most players used over the course of a season in Giants history. And, this season is nearing the top of the list, as you could imagine by its inclusion in the game notes. I believe it's at 62, and the franchise record is 64. But when you look, you know, at the top five, I think 3 or 4 years under Farhan Zaidi all populate the top of the list. And I think it just speaks to the way that Farhan runs the roster. And, you know, you're even seeing that this September. They made a waiver claim was it yesterday or 2 days ago, on a 6'7 first baseman. And who'd they send out? The guy they claimed on waivers 2 weeks before, who was also a utility first baseman guy. So, I mean, nobody really, you know, just obsesses over kind of the bottom end of that 40-man roster like Farhan Zaidi does. And, you know, when you look at a team like it has been this year, where you're not having – you're not getting the everyday contributions that you did last year and that you were maybe expecting to get this year, you know, it kind of shines a light on that bottom end of the roster even more. And, you know, we've seen the effects this season, especially when guys get injured. You know, it's not just, okay, they need to go out and replace one guy on the field. It has this trickle-down effect of, you know, all the way down to the 26th man on the roster is a little bit worse because he's a guy that they rely on in key situations for, you know, pinch hitting and platoons. And when that takes a hit, it affects, you know, the entire team.
Ev, you know, I was thinking about it because everyone talks about free agents, that Giants have money to spend. And then you look at the list of free agents, and I'm not sure who would come here or who they really even want other than the big name of Aaron Judge and maybe Trey Turner. But what do you expect them to do over the winter? And realistically, what do you think is going to happen this winter?
You know, Marty, I think it's a team that you look at the roster. You've got some expiring contracts. You've got some older guys, some guys who have not been productive this season. You know, from the outside, it looks like a team that you would need to overhaul to compete next season. Maybe that's the tactic they take. On the other hand, it's a roster that doesn't really lend itself to a lot of, you know, easy fixes either. You know, and like you said, the free agent market isn't necessarily robust. And this is a team that has money but doesn't necessarily seem willing to hand out big long-term contracts. You know, as you look at, you know, for a Carlos Rodon replacement, you know, a guy, you know, a potentially dominant starter who is going to be available maybe on a high salary but on a low yearly term, you know, assuming that they don't bring Rodon back, which, you know, I think would be smart based on his performance. I think a lot of fans would love to see him come back, you know, but we've seen, you know, Farhan and the Giants have been very hesitant to hand out anything longer than a three-year deal to a pitcher. They let Kevin Gausman walk for 5 years and $110 million last year, and that should be about what Rodon gets. But, you know, if you're looking for a Rodon replacement, maybe a Jacob deGrom. You know, he's a guy who's coming on. He's got a long injury history the last couple of years. He hasn't pitched a lot. But when he's on the mound, we all know what he can do. And, you know, the Giants have done a pretty good job of keeping their pitchers healthy and signing pitchers and with an injury history, keeping them on the field. I think that would be an interesting prospect. You know, I think you probably have to look elsewhere, you know, for trade options in terms of addressing to kind of the position player issue. If you're not going to go out there and sign an Aaron Judge, or in my opinion, I think even a better fit would be a Trey Turner, who can come in and slot in, and, you know, maybe you let Brandon Crawford play another year, you know, play out his contract at shortstop, and have Trey, you know, he can play the outfield, he can play second, he can kind of play all over the place, and then tell him, okay, shortstop job's yours, when, you know, Crawford's contract is up after next season. He's the guy who's going to bring something that they don't have on this team right now, which is, you know, crazy athleticism, fun guy to watch. He's going to slot in there every day. But I think the bottom line is they need more everyday players. I don't think that platooning guys 1 through 9 is, you know, kind of a viable option on a major league roster where you only have 26 spots. You know, I think that's shown this season. I think the way that Farhan, you know, kind of manages the bottom of the roster, as we were talking about, is really valuable on a team that has those everyday players, you know, the 1 through 4 guys in your lineup who are going to slot in every day, you know, a Betts, a Turner, a Freeman. And then when you're able to kind of manage, you know, the 4 or 5 other remaining slots in the lineup and get the most out of those matchups, that's where those kind of that you know, really obsessive roster management shines. But I think bottom line is they need to get guys who are going to slot in every day. I think it would be nice if they're a little bit more athletic. And, you know, as you know, with the Giants, they're going to want them to be versatile too.
Well, great analysis. Great analysis. Evan Wiebeck, rookie of the year, really, of all the new sports writers for this year. Very good analysis. So you can read him in the Merc. I like the DeGrom thought. I hadn't thought about that. There are a number of pitchers, maybe not top tier, but second level, like an Alex Wood, like the Sclafani, like Alex Cobb, people like that, that are out there. And I think the Giants are going to have their pick of those kind of players. But we'll see what they do with Rodon. What about Joc Pederson? That's an interesting one for me. Does he come back, or do the Giants let him go?
Well, Farhan's talked openly about wanting to bring back Joc, so I don't think it would be a shock to anybody. I don't think Jock's going to go out there and command a much larger contract than he got this offseason. I think they've probably been a little bit overexposed on the Joc front, just in terms of playing him in the outfield and relying on him to, play defense like that. But if you can bring him back and slot him in as your primary left-handed hitting DH and say, okay, maybe you're going to get 20 or 30 games out in left field. Hey, he's been taking ground balls at first, which they say don't read anything into it. I have a sly suspicion that this is about, increasing maybe his positional flexibility for next year if they were to bring him back. I'm not saying it doesn't make sense. He's probably one of their most, the valuable, just in terms of fan engagement, promotion, guys who's going to, drive fans to the ballpark. He hits home runs. He's fun to watch play. Where he fits in on the roster a roster that also includes a guy like, a Tommy La Stella or even a Lamont Wade Jr. who's going to be out of options next year. It's tough to find, but I do think that based on their usage and their comments this year, they certainly have prioritized Joc over a guy like Tommy La Stella, who's going to have, present much more difficult decisions this offseason for the front office, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. La Stella, I don't expect him to be back. All right, look at everything. Look at the whole landscape. Give me a shocking development on this roster, something you say, okay, wow, I didn't see that coming. Give me a shocking development that you may see coming on this roster.
That's a good question, Marty. You're putting me on the spot. I'll say maybe they bring back Carlos Rodon.
Okay.
I think they've got money burning a hole in their pocket. They don't like to give out long-term contracts to pitchers. I say that. But I've spoken with Rodon. He really does like it here. He's kind of established a life for him and his family out in the East Bay. And there's going to be a hole in the rotation for, if he leaves. And, he's another big draw to the ballpark. His starts are must-watch baseball. I think that's a factor. And I think, you can't overlook, how enticing it is to have a guy or have a 1-2 punch at the top of your rotation of Webb and Rodon, because no matter what else they do with that roster, that's going to take them a long ways.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Great answer. Very good answer. All right. It's Scottsdale. It is March the 15th. Where is Brandon Belt now?
Interestingly, supposedly not playing on a minor league contract, according to what he told Andy Baggerly this week, who very expertly tracked him down outside of the TV booth in a move I regrettably did not make. I was interested to hear that Belt is not interested in playing on a minor league deal because a guy who had a down year in his age 34 season who's going to be coming off knee surgery, no matter how good he's feeling, it's going to be probably a pretty tight market for him for free agent-wise. Maybe I'm misreading the situation, it would be a surprise not to see him at Scottsdale because I think the Giants are probably the team that's going to value him the most. But it would also be a surprise to see him it would be a surprise not to see him in Scottsdale, but it would be a surprise to see him there on a fairly valuable major league contract, talking in, the $7 or $8 million range. Because when you get into talking about, $8 million, that's going to be the choice that they have to make with Evan Longoria too. And when you look at the players that they've had this season, if you're just judging it off of 2022, both have been, dealt with injuries all season. But Longoria, when healthy, he's shown that he's still one of the better players in the league. And both guys bring, lots of clubhouse leadership. But when you're talking about a roster that needs to get younger and, two guys who you have the choice to bring back or not who are going to be 35 and 36, you know, you probably don't want to bring them both back, and, you know, maybe it's a choice that they have to make.
Yeah, very good. Great segment. Great segment with Evan Wiebeck. He covers the Giants for the San Jose Mercury News. Well, I'll leave you with this. You're a Seattle guy. I think Farhan's got to have a little bit of Jerry DePoto in him and take a few risks and make a few deals, even if they're unpopular. I think the free agent way is going to be a tough way to go. I would make some moves. So that's my shocking development. He makes trades and doesn't do much in the free agent market. How about that?
I think Farhan's still got a little Jerry DePoto on his hands from all their trades this season.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, hey, Ev, thanks so much. Enjoy the day, and we'd love to have you on before the season ends. You have very good insight into things that are going on. I appreciate it.
Anytime. Thanks, Marty.
Okay, good. That's very good. Evan Wiebeck, who covers the Giants for the San Jose Mercury News. We covered a lot of territory there. All right, Bill is up next with Joe Ferguson. Remember him? He used to catch for the Dodgers. And he'll talk a little bit about these catchy techniques. Joey Bart had trouble last night. That one-legged catcher thing with the leg extended, you can't throw very well from that position. The Dodgers stole four bases last night, and three of them led to runs right away. So this will be interesting to hear what Bill and Joe Ferguson, the former catcher for the Dodgers, has to talk about. All right, more coming up on the Sports Leader.